right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Saturday, August 10th of 2024. Looking ahead here, we have a four-game early MLB slate, followed by a nine-game MLB main slate later this evening. We have golf today with round two. We have a 12-fight MMA card. We have trucks today for NASCAR. Then we have Xfinity. And then we have Cup Race tomorrow on Sunday. So it should be a fun day of DFS here. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. You get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. With that said, we do the show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do the show here on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. So tune in and get your questions answered. But let's get the app pulled up here and let's jump into our first question that came in from the Discord. Question was, when late swapping, is there a way to see if your late swap worked out in your lineups? So the only way to do this would actually be like a little hard. But what you could do is, you know, when you download your lineups, right? Like when you're in a build and you're saving your lineups to your contest, you know, you're downloading them to your computer and then you are uploading them to the sites, right? So those downloads are on your PC. So what you would like do is basically collect those and then create a spreadsheet where you take our actual scores. So you come in here, you click download after a slate is over, which it'll have a new column for actual score. And then you would have to like grade them. You would have to go in and grade all your lineups. So you'd have to do a formula where it takes your lineups, reads the actual score from this table, matching the players' names, and then converts that to a total lineup actual, and then match those lineups and then compare how they did, which you could do. Like it is possible, but it is time intensive. There's not going to be a way in the app to do that. But think about it like this, right? You know, I could build my lineups for this four game slate right now. I could build them and I could submit them. I'm better off using more accurate information, more relevant information, new information, however, by waiting to build till closer to slate lock time. It's kind of the same thing with late swap, right? What you are doing in late swap is, one, you're taking advantage of any new sims that have run for games that have not started, right? So imagine, you know, slate locks at 12 here on the West Coast. You know, imagine there is some update for these games that all start at one. Well, all I'm doing is I'm using the latest and greatest information for that game in the late swap. That's why I'm late swapping. I want to take advantage of the newest information, the most accurate, right? So one, you're just taking advantage of the most accurate projections and sims. And then two, you are accounting for live data. So when Vlad Jr. hits a home run in the first inning, or I think George Springer hit one yesterday, right? George Springer hits a home run in the first inning of the game. His projection's going to change. Why? Because he still probably has three at bats left and he's already at 14 fantasy points as opposed to, you know, nine fantasy points. And so we're going to reproject him. We're going to say, hey, you know, George Springer already hit a home run. You know, we think his new projection for the rest of the game should be 18. Or something like that, right? Where, you know, we think he's going to get more fantasy points. So second thing with late swap, you're taking advantage of the live box score data that we are bringing in as games play out. And then third is, I see Kuba's here who asked the questions on Ultimate. The third thing you're doing is you're taking advantage of the live field lineup. So when we have you know, George Springer projected for 14% ownership and he comes in at 10%. Well, now you're taking advantage of that information too. The builder understanding how many lineups in the contest actually have this player and the net benefit you get by rostering that player in your lineups. So there's so many good things for late swap that, like, long term, it's always going to be the best option here. Even if it doesn't work out one night, it's still going to be it kind of goes back to like playing long term positive ROI lineups, or like, you know, I like to use like a poker analogy. It's like, hey, you know, 2-7 is the worst hand in poker. If you played it, you know, 100,000 times, you're probably going to lose money long term here. But that doesn't mean it never won, right? Like, sometimes it's going to flop trips. Sometimes it'll get a full house. Sometimes it'll get like a one card straight. There are times where the lineup wins or the hand wins, but you just don't know. And it's better to will there be times where it doesn't work out? Yes, but it is still the right thing to do for a long-term strategy. All right, good question there to get us started. Now, checking Discord one more time. Question from Eric. Let's get this one up here. All right. Eric said, when late swapping, is it best to clear out your adjustments to different stacks, teams, etc.? I usually wait until the middle of the slate, then run the live sims/projections. I feel like my exposures create too many restrictions to the live late swap. What I'm saying, should I clear So when you're late swapping, you know, the late swap builder works differently than the pre-slate builder. And in the late swap especially, the harder it's going to be for the builder to build you out a bigger pool of lineups. That's just kind of the way it is, unfortunately. So I think it's good to, you know, you don't have to take them all the way off, but you can loosen the restrictions as the night goes on. So maybe, you know, I'm in here and I'm like, hey, you know, I want like 25% Boston. I want like 25% Astros and I want like 25% Miami, right? I'm just taking like the last three teams on the slate as far as game time wise. Well, maybe I have 10 lineups and I want to swap them 10 times each. So I should have 100 lineups. Maybe the builder's only able to build 50. Well, it's like, okay, hey, what if I loosen these to like 15% instead of like 25, right? What if I lower them slightly? You know, does that help the builder to get to where I want to be? And, you know, that's kind of the approach I would take is, you know, leave it on, run a late swap. See if you can get a full pool. If you can't, try loosening it and seeing if that helps, right? And then if you have rules like, hey, you know, I have, you know, 1, 2, 3 rules. Maybe I turn one off. Maybe I turn the least important one off at this point, right? So there's a couple different ways to do that. It really just starts by like trying to get what you want because you know you want that, right? Those are the things that you wanted pre-slate. And if you still want them post-slate, try to get it. And then if you can't get it, loosen. But I would take that incremental approach as opposed to just turning it off to begin with. I think that, you know, you want the lineups to look like what you want them to look like, right? So I think that's important. All right. Good question there. And then, the last part was, should I clear the default and sort by RAROI? So for late swap, I would recommend using ROI. And the reason for that is because as you get later in the slate, you know, you're really just optimizing for the highest return on your lineups. You're not so worried about diversification. You're not so worried about, you know, omega ratio and all the other stuff that comes with ROI. You're literally like, at this point, you know, how do I maximize the amount of dollars I can win? And this comes down to like, hey, my lineups that are doing good, how do we get them all the way to first place? And then my lineups that are doing bad, hey, how do we scrape out some cash equity from these lineups? And at this point, you know, ROI is actually going to be better, right? Because we're not so worried about diversification and things like that. Like, a lot of the players have already locked, you know, probably like 50% of the players. We're just trying to kind of optimize for the highest returns at this point. So using ROI in late swap is better, in my opinion. And you could even still use min uniques, right? Something I like to do is sort by ROI, add an aggregate metric, you know, for average ROI. And then, you know, say it's this, right? And then I'll watch as if I move the min uniques, how the ROI changes. And if it changes significantly, I will go back one and stop there. So that's the way I've been using it. All right. Good question there. And with that said, let's do a little bit of a build demo here, right? Build some lineups for this Saturday 4-game slate here. So a couple updates to projections. You know, 4-game slate, I kind of like lowering min salary here to like 45,000. It's like my preference. You know, say I'm playing the 20 max here. Quick follow-up from Eric said, should you always max out the swaps per lineup in the builder? Personally, I don't. And, you know, the way I think about it is like, if you're playing 150 lineups and you can build a pool of 5,000, you can basically get to about 33 swaps per lineup. I'm like pretty sure is the max. So when you have less than that, you know, say you have 10 lineups, like, yeah, you could do like 500 swaps per lineup, but I don't really think you need that. So the thing that I think about is like, hey, if my swaps per lineup is very, very high, you know, this is going to take my late swap longer to finish. And sometimes I need it to finish fast. Sometimes I'm on the road and don't want it to take forever. So I usually set it to 50, and I'll at the most, I'll say, no matter how many lineups I have, I'm only going to run 50 swaps per lineup, because you're getting 50 versions of the original lineup. And to me, that's like more than enough. You know, nobody complains about having 33 swaps per lineup for their 150. So like, why is 50 like a bad number if, you know, you're okay with 33 for like a 150 set? So I kind of think about it like that. It ends up finishing faster. I'm able to get my lineups in faster, and just the process takes a little bit less. So 50 is my recommendation. You could use more if you so choose. All right, let's build these lineups. Gonna leave everything off here. Even don't use batters against opposing pitchers on this short slate, right? We talk about, you know, the smaller and smaller the slate, you know, there might be a situation where, yeah, you know, Logan Webb has like a really good game, like 7 innings, 2 earned runs and like 8 strikeouts. But, you know, those 2 runs were like a home run by, I don't know who plays for Detroit. I can't even find somebody here. It was a 2-run home run by Matt Vierling, right? And Vierling ends up, you know, getting there. Like the smaller and smaller slate, the more likely something weird like that can actually work out. And I'm not even saying that it's likely to show in your lineups, but it is possible, right? It can definitely happen. So shorter slates, you know, this is why like showdown slates are like so random, and, you know, weird lineups and things win in like showdowns all the time, because you take one game and you play it out one time. It can be so random what ends up actually happening in that slate. So smaller slate, you know, allow for these kind of weird things to happen. But if this was yesterday, you know, big, like 13 games late or something, like, you probably don't need that to win. You'll be just fine without it. All right. So we're just going to run one contest sim here. And just moving around columns while we wait. All right, build is complete. Let's jump in here. Switch to risk-adjusted ROI. Add in a filter. Show lineups with ROI greater than zero. Going to add in some aggregate metrics. I like to see average projection, average ROI, and minimum ROI. All right. Average ROI is about 215%. Average projection is about 88. Minimum ROI is about 188. Looks good so far. So let's jump in here. Sort by exposure. So pretty high exposure to Detroit of all teams here. This is probably a good spot to, you know, start diversifying and managing a little risk just because we're so over leveraged on them. So mini uniques of 2. Small change, mini uniques of 3. Another small change, mini uniques of 4. Very small changes. Every time it's been like less than 5% sim ROI change. All right. So this is an interesting spot, right? Mini uniques of 4 is like 205% sim ROI. Mini uniques of 591, right? Like a 15% drop. You got to spend a minute here saying, okay, hey, what am I seeing? And am I okay with this drop? Do I think it's necessary? And so what I would do is I would come in here and check my exposures and my leverages, right? For me, looking at this, my top 3 exposures are all pitchers. Okay, great. But I still have like pretty high exposure to some batters, 45%, 40%, 35%, all to Detroit here. You know, this might be just be too much of like one team for my comfort level. So I think it's okay to go to 5 here. You're sacrificing some sim ROI, but these leverages are just very, very high. So mini unique of 6. So now we're getting a lot more exposure to Boston, right? And we dropped again in sim ROI. So I might go to 5 and I might just use this as an opportunity to make some manual adjustments here. So maybe I come into my team stacks. I'm like, you know what? This is just too much Detroit. Too many Detroit stacks. Maybe I drop them to the second highest and like match. So like, I don't want any team more than 40. All right. So adjusted the team stacks and let's come back here. And let's go to all batters. Okay, so batter exposures look a lot better, right? Look a lot flatter here. So pretty happy with that. Highest exposure now is Jaren Duran, but he's like 21%, expected for like 21% ownership. So having 40% of him here is like not the worst thing in the world. So that's taking a stand on Arrigetti, but other than that, looks pretty good. I would be a lot happier with this, right? But all I did was I kind of settled on a mini unique number, and then I went in and I made 2 manual adjustments to minimax exposures on the team stacks tab, you know, as opposed to setting a bunch in the beginning. So use mini uniques to get you most of the way there, make some fine-tuned adjustments to get you the last 5 to 10%, and you'll be all good. But I'd be happy submitting these lineups. All right. Looks like we're caught up with questions in the Discord and the YouTube chat. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be right back here Monday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next Office Hours show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.